until not this Sunday will be B3, Bob Bullender III. And then on the 14th, Dr. Dan Hill will be here and his wife, Pat. And they're coming all the way from Arizona. So we want to support them with our attendance. And he will teach that Tuesday and Thursday, and then he will teach the 19th. And he's going to be teaching a series. He says he's going to be here 5 teaching days, and his series lasts 5 days. So it's not 5 lessons. And so he'll be there on the 19th and the Tuesday, Thursday, and I will be back on the 26th. That's third Sunday from now. Okay? And Andrea has got a list. She's kind of coordinating the things for Dr. Dan and Pat. Some people are preparing food to put in their house, and others are going to take them out to dinner. And so you need to call her or just talk to her while you're here and get that information from her so we can all have it. We'll all be singing off the same sheet. Okay? Okay, let's prepare ourselves in our usual fashion. We'll have a few moments of silent prayer, the option of rebound if necessary. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day of your grace. We thank you for the sunshine. We also thank you for the rain. In fact, we thank you for all things. We're required to do that. But we want to do it with an air of appreciation, knowing that you are in control of all things and that we have everything to look forward to, nothing to dread. Great opportunity before us. So we pray that you will help us to focus and concentrate this evening. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. I have a few... I'm going to show you 3 PowerPoints to get started with a bit of levity. By the way, I might not want to speak until I show this. Well, I think I'll show it now and make a comment. If it comes, it's going to come up. There it is. There's a senior cell phone. I was waiting for... This is a rotary. I was waiting for... Garth to be here. No, there he is.
It needs a crank for me.
I'm glad to see one I recognize.
And now this next one, I don't know if any of you get, but it made me laugh out loud. It said, "Mom says she found this pipe in my car and that we need to have a talk." Now, somebody's not cool in there. I think it might be the mom. One more. "Why does toilet paper need a commercial? Who is not buying this?" Okay, I'm glad y'all all still have a sense of humor. We need it these days. And now I'm going to show you, now I'm going to tell you what I know that he's not going to like this, but I'm going to do this anyway. Mr. Red Hornberg came and fixed our projector. He came today, special trip. That's why we're seeing it up here, because we hadn't been working for the last couple of times. And kudos to people like Brett Hornberg. He goes beyond the call of duty, and we appreciate it. Okay, so here's the second one I was going to show you. This is the one I had prepared. I never was able to show. It's just about 3 or 4 slides here. I said this Sunday, but it's better when you can see it. Ladies, lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transgenders. There's in the red, the LGBT you see there. I forgot how to use this. The Bible includes all those listed above as committing sexual sins. I want to make sure that everybody understands that. Every one of those letters, the Bible includes as sexual sins. Genesis 18:20, Leviticus 18:22, Leviticus 20:13, Romans 1:26 through 27, Jude 1:7, Deuteronomy 22:5. That's the one that deals with transgenders. The Bible doesn't. The Mosaic Law wouldn't allow women to dress like men or men to dress like women. But then you have Matthew 19:4. Those are some scriptures to. And I can get more, but that's enough to substantiate the fact that all of those letters are representing sexual sins that the Bible condemns. Y'all want me to leave that up a minute, or y'all good?
Okay.
Okay.
Did you say that they have a transgender program already on the air?
Oh, I know. Well, there's going to be a lot more.
Okay.
Let me ask you ladies something. I don't ask the men because they don't know any better anyway. But what are you going to do if the bachelor or the bachelorette starts having lesbians and gays on it? Will you shut down? Good.
I don't watch it
anymore. Well, I know, but some people do. A lot of people do. And I was wondering that the other day. I thought, you know, the first time that they have a bachelor and they have all girl bachelorettes and a guy, that's when the show ought to go out of it. So I hope that we aren't too far gone for that. So this is my words for the letters here. You have L is legalizing, G is gender perversion, B is bi, and T is tyranny. That's what's happening today. Legalizing gender perversion by tyranny. They're using the courts to turn against people who have morals, especially Christians. Christians are in the crosshairs today. Now, I told you this before, but you can read it with me here. John Hopkins Hospital was the pioneer in gender reassignment surgery. It now refuses to perform procedures because Dr. Paul R. McHugh, the hospital's former psychiatrist in chief and current distinguished service professor of psychiatry, has noted that as even the left-leaning APA reluctantly acknowledges, transgenderism is a mental disorder. The idea of a sex change is biologically impossible, he observes. And this is the big chief at Johns Hopkins, so he should know what he's talking about. According to the latest peer-reviewed studies, so-called transgender people after sex reassignment surgery commit suicide at the rate 20 times higher than normal, despite progressive rationalizations to the contrary. Now, this is what they're trying to foist on us as something good. And if you speak out against this, that they call it discrimination, and they're trying to put people like that in jail. Oh, it's nice. I forgot about how good it was to have this and have it working.
Yeah.
Okay. We're getting close to the end of discernment with reference to government. We've been on it a long time. But a lot has happened since we started it, and so we keep going into what is pertinent. I'll let you see the notes tonight as well. You can read along with me if you'd like. This is Discernment Lesson 30. Our inalienable rights precede the formation of government. So first comes right, and then comes government. And because of that, the Constitution is the law that governs those who govern us. I got that from the New American, 616, page 33. There's a lot more in there that was really good. And what I'm giving you this evening are things that I've looked at, was impressed with, even a few things that I learned that I'm just passing along to you.
I
Because if I had learned it's something that I didn't know before, and now I'm passing it on to you, I thought y'all would probably like to know that as well. The Ninth Amendment says, that is, of the Bill of Rights, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Now, I have retained bold and underlined, and this is why. It is quite clear that the use of the word retained means that our rights preceded the adoption of any enumeration or listing of rights. So how could the government give us rights when we had the rights before we had the government? The only thing that the government is doing here is recognizing those rights, and the purpose of government is to defend those rights and to protect our rights. That is the purpose, main purpose of government. Now, in the Declaration of Independence, it says, we hold this truth to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed with their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted, among men, deriving their just powers. You see that in bolded there, underlined? Deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Now, I always concentrated on the consent of the governed here. And that's really important. Because outside of the consent of the government, of the governed, which is us, the government has no power. That's the way it's supposed to be. And I've always saw in this Ninth Amendment, it's very important that we understand that we have rights that the Constitution doesn't even mention. So if anyone ever says, well, you can't do that, that's not in the Constitution. You can just say, well, what about the Ninth Amendment? These are just certain rights that we have in that document. But this says we have other rights. These are God-given rights. So, but now we have deriving their just powers. Have you ever read a scripture before and seen it over and over again, and then one day you read it and for the first time, wham, something just jumps out at you, and it was always there, but you never saw it. Well, that's what it is here when it says their just powers. It doesn't say their powers. Their just powers come from the consent of the governed. Now, this is why this is important, is because just powers suggest that only some powers are justly held by the government, while others are beyond its proper authority. So they only derive their just powers from the consent of the government. Now, if they have powers that they are exercising that did not come from the consent of the governed, if they didn't have the consent of the governed, then that's not included here, is it? It's only their just powers. So if you look at our government today and you're looking at the powers and you have on one side, these are the just ones. These are the ones that have the consent of the people and so forth. And over here, you have those that are not enumerated. They fall outside of the boundary of the 10th Amendment and they are unconstitutional. In many cases, they are immoral and they are unjust. It would look like this, wouldn't it? The heavy side, this way, way down with these type of powers. The balance of power between the branches of our government has disappeared. What is happening today is that each branch defers to the other branches, which of course results in the expansion of our government and contraction of freedom. So it's like you have a balloon. Have you ever had one of those balloons that they can make figures out of? Whenever you squeeze a balloon here, it gets bigger over here, doesn't it? And whenever you let go of it, it gets back to the same size. Well, that's what, whenever the government has more power, they're doing it by constricting freedoms and the government gets bigger, see? But when you squeeze the government, then the rights get bigger, you see? And so that's what's been happening, is that all three branches are deferring to the other two branches. And that's one reason we have a government that's out of control. A good example of this is when President George W. Bush thought that the McCain-Feingold bill limiting political speech was unconstitutional. But he was going to sign it anyway and let the courts decide. Then, of course, the courts deferred to Congress and the president. You see, if he thought that that was unconstitutional, he should never have signed it. That's what he's there for, is to be a check on the Congress. But when he said, well, and he, by the way, he did this publicly. This is what he stated publicly, is that, well, I'm not for it, but I'll go ahead and sign it and let the courts decide. There are so many decisions today and bills that come before the people that they don't even question is it constitutional or not anymore. They just say, well, we'll let the courts sort it out. I think I've told you before, but I'll tell you again now. I used to think that, well, the Congress gets together and they go in these committees and they hammer out all of these bills and make sure the wording is just right, the way they like it and all, and then they send it to the president. But it's naive to think that's the way it happens anymore. The congressmen don't even know what's in the bill because they don't even write them. What they do is have lobbyists write them. And, of course, the lobbyists are more than happy to do that because everything is going to be slanted in their favor. Some of the bills now are over 2,000 pages long. Now, that is a disgrace. How in the world can someone vote on something that's long? And they usually have an hour, maybe two at the most, to wade through all this legalese. They don't have a clue what's in it. Like Nancy Pelosi said, we had to pass it to know what's in it. And even then, they still don't know what it is. So, it says, that's one reason that the balance of power is off the rails, because the Congress is completely and entirely derelict of duty. All they're doing is taking up space and spending money. And I don't care whether they have a D or an R or an I or whatever else they have in front of their name. Total disgrace. The president, I don't even have to tell you about that. One of the latest things he did was trying to legislate by letter. That's what I like to call it. Send a letter to all the school districts in the country, tell them they're going to have to abide by my bathroom jihad. And what does the Congress say? Not. And then the courts are more than ready to take the Congress job of legislating. And then all these people together, not only the Congress, the House of Representatives and the Senate, the President, the whole executive branch, when the judicial system, when the courts say something, they all take it as the law of the land. Governors and sheriffs and mayors and everybody you can think of say, that's the way we're operating. Totally foreign to our Constitution. I read something today that said, the only living Constitution is the one that the people are using. And if they're ignoring the original, then it's dead as a hammer. I threw in the hammer part. So what I'm saying is, essentially, we are operating with the original Constitution, for all intents and purposes, is as dead as a hammer because nobody's paying any attention to it. But that could change. It could change only if there's enough people who wake up in time and grow a backbone and open their mouth and start doing something about it. I don't know exactly what to do, but if you get, let's say, 100 million people, and they are livid, if they only knew how much they're being taken advantage of and how they're being played, they would be so angry, they would figure out something. Okay, this is something that I had talked about before. We hadn't gone over this. This is kind of a short piece here. This was on Fox News, and it's talking about 11 states sue over Obama administration transgender directive. Here it's a directive. Sometimes they say it is a directive. This says directive. Sometimes they say, call it by other names. You'll see as we go through here. Texas and 10 other states filed suit Wednesday against Obama and his administration over its directive on transgender student access to public school facilities, firing the first shot in what is likely to be a protracted and messy legal battle over that guidance. So here they're calling it guidance. Up here it's a directive. Now, what do you think I think of that? What do you think about that? A long a messy legal battle over that guidance. And all of it is unnecessary, right? All our governor has to say is, you pass all those things you want to, and we're not going to do them in Texas. But any governor can do that. It's called nullification. The suit was filed in the Texas federal court in response to the directives handed down to schools earlier this month that said transgender students should be able to use bathrooms and locker rooms that match their gender identity. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton announced the lawsuit saying directives represent an attempt by the administration to rewrite the laws. I don't even think he rewrote them. I think all he did was say, send them a letter and say this is the way it's going to be. And the court said they popped too. This is a quote. This represents just the latest example of current administration's attempts to accomplish by executive fiat what they couldn't accomplish through the democratic process in Congress. I don't like democratic process. I like the constitutional process. And they keep that by the way, I'm trying to help you see. They don't like to even use the word constitution anymore, so they just replace it with democratic process, when it really should be the Constitution. Joining Texas in the suit were Alabama, Wisconsin, West Virginia, Tennessee, Arizona, Department of Education, Maine governor. I guess Maine wasn't for it, but the governor was. Paul Lee Page, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Utah, and Georgia. Defendants have conspired to turn workplace workplaces and educational settings across the country into laboratories for a massive social experiment flaunting the democratic process. There we have it again, democratic process instead of the Constitution. And running roughshod over the common sense policies protecting children and basic privacy rights, the lawsuit said. Conservative states had vowed to defy the federal directive, calling it threat to safety of students. Texas Lieutenant Governor has previously said the state is willing to forfeit $10 billion in federal education dollars rather than comply. Well, that sounds honorable, I guess. I mean, it's better than doing nothing. But I think I have a better idea. I would say, okay, we might forfeit that $10 billion, but the next time the federal government wants us to send funds up to D.C., say, nope. No. At least say the first $10 billion are minus. I don't think they'll send them anything, but if they're going to send them something, send them what they would require minus $10 billion. Now, why wouldn't they do that? Why just say, well, we're going to make a stand even if we have to forfeit the $10 billion? Listen, Texas gives probably two or three times that to the federal government. Why not just say, okay, you can bill us for $10 billion? I mean, you can withhold these funds, but when you get yours, you're going to be $10 billion short. What about that? I think the people would back them on that, wouldn't you?
Yes.
And here's something else about Obama withholding $10 billion from the schools. He didn't have anything to do with it. It's the Congress that allocates funds for the schools. He doesn't have a word. He's not even involved. And for him to pipe up and say, well, we might withhold the funds, the federal funds, wouldn't you be insulted if you were in the Congress? Wouldn't you say, hey, Bob, what are you doing? You don't have any say in this. We're the ones that allocated it. I dare you say you're going to withhold funds that you don't have anything to say about it. Why did that happen? Well, I mean, I'm a nobody. You don't have to be a genius to figure these things out. President Obama has excluded the voice of the people. We stand today to ensure those voices are heard, Paxton said. The directive, now it's a directive, from the U.S. Justice and Education Department represents an escalation in fast-moving dispute over its becoming the civil rights issue of the day. I guess he's talking about transgenderism, but to me it doesn't matter whether it's lesbians, whether it's homosexuals, whether it's bisexuals, whether it's transgenders, the whole kit and caboodle are perverts. And nobody's got the guts to say it. They're all afraid. Well, some of them do. I heard a few people say that. And you know what? If more people don't start calling it what it is and condemning it because the Bible condemns it, if one day it's going to be a hate crime if you even say that that's a perversion. While the letter does not have the force of law, it does warn schools that do not abide by the administration's interpretation of civil rights under Title IX, law may face lawsuits or laws of federal aid. Now, I'm confused on that. I thought that's what law does. Say, you need to do this, and if you don't do it, there's going to be a penalty. But it says it doesn't have the force of law. Now, I guess they're just trying to get around the fact that the president doesn't have, he can't make law. The Supreme Court can't make law, and you know that because of where? Where would you find that? Where would you substantiate that?
Article 1, Section 1.
There you go, Article 1, Section 1. All legislation is vested in the Congress. That would be the House of Representatives and the Senate. There's no room in our schools for discrimination of any kind, including discrimination against transgender students on the basis of their sex. Attorney General Loretta Lynch said in a statement when the Here Now It's guidelines were announced earlier this month. Did any of you see her give that announcement? I did. I had to just go take a cold shower. She is the attack dog. The female attack dog. Here it is now, the guidance. The guidance, and I call this extortion, was issued after the Justice Department and North Carolina sued each other over a state law that requires transgender people to use the public bathroom that corresponds to their sex on the birth certificate. The law applies to schools and many other places. So, that is such an over-the-top, absurd, how dare they require that people use the bathroom that corresponds with the sex on their birth certificate. They have their nerve, don't they? That was enough to get a lawsuit from the federal government. Supporters say such measures are needed to protect women and children from sexual predators, while the Justice Department and others argue that the threat is practically non-existent and that law and the law is discriminatory. So saying that if you're a male, you go to the male bathroom, if you're a female, you go to the female bathroom, that is discriminatory, and there is no threat whatsoever of sexual predators if this was taking place. Insanity, again. This is something, a little blurb here. Feds order college to stop checking criminal and school discipline history. Have you heard this one? The Obama administration has ordered the nation's colleges and universities. Look, you hear this? He has ordered them. Like a king. The Obama administration has ordered the nation's colleges and universities to stop asking applicants about criminal and school disciplinary history because it discriminates against minorities. Institutions are also being asked to offer those with criminal records special support services such as counseling, mentoring, and legal aid once enrolled. So if you have a criminal background or you have a bad behavior in school, then you can get some free tutors. The government's official term for these prospective students is justice-involved individuals. PC, politically correct. Thugs, criminals, are now justice-involved individuals. And the new directive aims to remove barriers to higher education for the overwhelming minority population that had encounters with the law or disciplinary issues through high school. You know, it seems like everything that is happening, everything that our government does is placing the motivation on the wrong end. Our whole tax structure is a decentive. If you want to make your place better, if you want to add some buildings and make it more beautiful and do all these things, if there was no tax punishment for that, you would do all these things and there'd be more jobs that would boost the economy. But no, anything that you do is going to more taxes you're going to have to pay every month, more and more and more. It's a decentive. It's the same thing here. Why go through school and behave yourself and why worry about getting a record? Because all it means is free tutors when you go to school and you have a preferential treatment. That was in Judicial Watch, 5/2016. The Daily Caller News Foundation, this is 5/25/16, transgender teacher gets $60,000 after co-workers won't call her they. I never heard this one, I'll tell you. A trans masculine, there's more PC for you, a trans masculine teacher at an Oregon elementary school, this is an elementary school, has been awarded $60,000 by her school district as compensation for harassment she claims to have suffered on the job, including being referred to by the wrong pronoun. $60,000 because they didn't refer to you by the right pronoun. According to the Oregonian, Leo Soul was born a woman, but now prefers to identify as trans masculine and gender queer. That's not the word. I'm reading that. This person is so scrambled in his brain that he wants to be identified as gender queer. Meaning she does not consider herself to be male or female. What I guess gender queer, I guess that would fit. After getting breast cancer in late 2014, she had her breast amputated to create a more masculine appearance and changed her name to Leo. Once she returned from medical school in May 2015, Soul was fully public with her gender-neutral identity. Y'all understand that's an oxymoron, don't you? Gender neutral. Once she returned to work, Soul claimed she fell victim to relentless harassment from her co-workers. She said employees persisted in calling her hurtful names like Miss Soul. Oh, that's a bad one. Lady. Yeah. And she.
Is your microphone off?
No. Are people calling in?
Yes. Thank goodness for Brett.
Wow. Now you can hear it. I'm sorry to everybody that is tuning in out there. We have enough problems without me not turning on my mic. Well, at least they were able to see, maybe. Okay, well, those that are still hanging on in there, some of them probably left. Okay, sorry about that. Let's see, where am I? Oh, yeah, lady. If a student asks Soul sex, she says she was ordered to reply with it was a private matter, not suitable for discussion at school. $60,000. This is fairly short one here. WorldNet Daily. Men, you, not the state, must protect your family. Now that sounds like it's going to be good already, doesn't it? This is exclusive from Carl Van Wick. Stresses on firearms, God, law, trumps human laws. When political leaders and lawmakers make it impossible for us as dutiful husbands and fathers to act in the biblical sense as protectors of those whom God has entrusted to our care, then we have no obligation to obey them. Do you hear that? When the ruling class further curtails our freedom and masks its illegal for us to fulfill our duty to protect our families by bypassing and implementing unjust gun laws, then they are no longer God's servant to us for good, rather they become an instrument of Satan whom we are commanded by God to resist. Resist Satan and he will flee from you. Whew. We must actively work towards making sure the liberal anti-gun leaders and lawmakers are defeated electorally and replaced with godly leaders who respect and uphold basic human rights of self-defense. A thug who wants to disarm a law-abiding citizen, leaving his life in danger and his wife or children vulnerable to assault, is a thug, whether a thug in government or a thug on the street. So, all these thousands of gun laws, every one of them, are unconstitutional because as much as I can know, the Second Amendment is still in force. And so, people will say, oh, well, what would we have if you just let anybody go and get a gun? Well, don't they know that anybody can go and get a gun at any time now? I mean, and they do. I had I think it was a PowerPoint. I didn't show you. I loaded it up, but it said, out of all these gun laws and all this fodder all about gun control, no politician has ever given us a plan on how to take the guns away from criminals, just law-abiding citizens. That's how much sense all that makes. Okay. Well, here it is. Oh, I just need to go on, didn't I? Here it is. With all this gun control talk, I haven't heard one politician say how they are going to take guns away from criminals, just law-abiding citizens. It's insanity. Everybody knows that when you pass a law and expect criminals to abide by it, you got to screw loose. The only people who are going to abide by it are those who are law-abiding citizens, so they're disarming the people who are law-abiding. And they are the criminals, by the way. Okay, we have some end notes here that we're coming to an end now. Well, Publius Holder, these are from Publius Holder's notes here. And these are some end notes. Here are express references to God in the Declaration of Independence. And in my opinion, the Declaration of Independence is the closest thing that we have from a human writer as parallel to the Bible. It is not inspired, but if I had to vote for what is closest to Scripture, I would say it would be the Declaration of Independence. That's how fond I am of it. It is what gave birth to our country. And there are five references to God. The first one, the law of nature and nature's God. The second one is endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Their Creator with a capital C. The next one is appealing to the supreme judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions. In other words, Jefferson was appealing on the people's behalf to the supreme judge of the world. And that court is not in Washington, D.C., by the way. And then the fourth one, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. When they said divine providence, they were talking about God. That's four. Can anybody guess what the last one is? It's not a phrase like this. But there is one more where God is mentioned in the Declaration of Independence. It's the date. Our Constitution, it says our Constitution, Article 7, last clause, in the year of our Lord, 1787. Now, they're trying to do away with that with the Common Era. You know, you have B.C., which is before the Common Era, and you have the Common Era, which we would say in the year of our Lord. They replaced that. And B.C.E. before the Common Era. But I don't do that. I always say it's A.D. and B.C. And A.D. doesn't mean after the death. It means Anno Domini, which means in the year of our Lord. I'm so glad that they put that in there. Okay. I don't know what my computer's trying to do here. Oh, okay, here we go. All right. Here, Lex Rex. How many of you ever heard the book, heard about the book Lex Rex? Anybody ever read it? It's a great book. I have it at home, and I was looking for it, but I had to leave in a hurry, and I can't find anything, so it's there. Lex Rex means the law is above the king. Lex refers to the law, and Rex refers to the king. And so the title of the book is Lex Rex, not Rex Lex. That would be the king before, above the law. Romans 13 must be read in para materia with everything the Bible says about civil government. Now, if you're like me, I didn't know what para materia meant. It's a Latin term. And I went to three dictionaries looking for it before they, one of them told me what it was. And it means essentially all-inclusive, especially with a generative, or like from the beginning. So, it says, what this means is, when you're reading Romans 13, the first seven verses, you have to take everything else and what the Bible says inclusive in that. Because many pastors will take the first two verses where it says God is above all, He's the highest authority, and His is in the Greek, it's talking about the authorities, exousia, are to be obeyed. That he has instituted government and we are to obey it. So I've heard some pastors just give those two. Now, what is missing in there in the context, and it's so clear when you read that, is Paul is giving the people the information on what a legitimate government is and how it functions. It doesn't say legitimate or lawful government, but there's not a word in there of anything that would be untoward, that would be evil or wrong. And so he's simply laying it out. This is the way a government is to function. In the Phillips New Testament, they do insert the word legitimate government. It's there. But it's the only one that I found. But the concept is there. Paul didn't even have to mention that because it was understood. And when a government is operating under the mandate that you see in those first seven verses of Romans 13, we are obliged. We are responsible to obey that because God has instituted a government, and it doesn't matter what form of government it is, but those who are ruled are acting as His ministers for good. Twice in those verses, it talks about the authorities, the rulers, are His ministers for good. And they are to reward those who do good and chastise those who commit crime. That's their reason for being there. But what we have today is so many people don't realize what I just gave to you. And so they say, well, they read the first two verses, you're supposed to obey government, so we have to obey any government. That is insane. That would mean that, I'm talking about unconditional obedience to an evil government. How in the world can that be pleasing to God? How can people even imagine that? And yet, that's what's being taught. So that's what it's talking about. When he says you have to take in consideration everything the Bible has to say about civil government. Woe to you rulers who take away the rights of the people, and you make destitute the orphans and the widows. It's always, it's just God is warning those rulers. We've been seeing this in Amos in spades, haven't we? What God does to rulers who benefit and aggrandize themselves, He comes down on them with a terrific hammer. The false doctrine of the divine right of kings is based on ignoring the numerous Old Testament provisions addressing civil government. Romans 13 actually says the civil authorities are God's ministers and agents. And if we are good, we have no cause to fear them. But if we do evil, we do have cause to fear them. Is anything this easy? I mean, there's nothing complicated about that, is it? Nothing in there, though, about unconditional submission, which is what the people have been taught or just falsely understand. So when reading Romans 13, Titus 3, 1, 1 Peter 2, 13 through 14, by the way, all these scriptures are in my book, Tolerating Tyranny, and then you go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, you have those same type of qualification or condition upon the government being a government that is a minister of God for good. In all those verses, we must keep in mind that it is God who decides what is good and what is evil. Now, we're thinking these days that it's the Supreme Court or somebody in government. People don't understand that we, in the way that our country was founded, are sovereign. We are the bosses. So when you have some civil servant that is asking you, well, who do you think you are? You could, in all honesty and being right, I happen to be your boss. You work for me. The tail has been wagging the dog for way too long. The people don't know who they are or what their rights are. I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm just talking about standing up for what God has given us.
They get real offended when you say that to them.
Well, I don't really... That doesn't matter to me. If they get... But, you know, let me hasten to say this. I'm not saying that we should be smart aleck. We shouldn't be arrogant. These people are ignorant. They really don't know how things are supposed to operate. And since we know, all of you sitting here know more about the Constitution than probably 95% of the civil people in government, and we need to very patiently and explain to them. Don't attack them and don't be haughty. Be humble, but go to the Constitution. Go to the Bill of Rights. Go to the Federalist Papers. When they say, well, no nullification, that'll never work because the courts will never agree to it. You can say, oh, well, are you saying that James Madison, the father of the Constitution, and Thomas Jefferson, the writer of the Declaration of Independence, don't know what they're talking about? Because both of them said that nullification is the rightful remedy when government gets out of control. That's all you have to say. And then, you know, I don't know what they're going to say. Doesn't matter what they say. It's what you say that matters. And you don't do it in a haughty way. We need to be very calm. I can't say this enough, because if you do it in an arrogant manner, or if you do it in anger, God is not going to bless it. He's not going to be behind it. You need to do it in a way that you can be firm, but you're not attacking them. You're just educating them. And saying, this is the way it is. Now, if you can tell me, here's the First Amendment right here. All legislation is vested in the Congress, and now you're saying that the Supreme Court can make legislation? Can you explain that to me? I'm not being haughty. I would like to get an explanation. Can anybody explain that? No. They can't explain it unless they say, well, the Supreme Court can make law, can they? Not lawfully. God never gave civil authorities the power to define good and evil, and God never gave them autonomy. They answer to us, and we answer to... Well, they answer to God, and then they answer to us, and we answer to God. That's as far as we have to go, isn't it? I mean, I don't care what the chain of command is. We as Christians know that we answer to God. That should be enough, shouldn't it? We don't have to care. We don't have to be concerned with who's second in command when our main authority, our ultimate authority, is God. All of our decisions, all of this fault are all about taking this gender bathroom, gender jihad, taking it to the courts is nonsense. We know what to do. Why would we have to go to the court to ask, can you decide on this matter, because we don't really want to do it, and the court is our creation? It's like going to your children and saying, is it all right if I take a vacation? No. Oh, okay. Bad theology is and has long been the cause of much evil, and pride keeps it going. You all talk to people that you, especially if you're talking about theological matters. It seems to me the less that people know, the louder and more dogmatic they become, because they don't have anything else. All they have is be verbose, be strident. I mean, if you don't have an argument, just try to intimidate. Article 1, Section 1, all legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in the Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and House of Representatives. Only elected senators, Article 1, Section 3, Clause 1, and properly elected representatives, Article 1, Subsection 2, Clause 1, may exercise legislative powers. Our Constitution doesn't permit unelected bureaucrats to make laws. What? Our Constitution doesn't permit unelected bureaucrats to make laws. Woo! That wouldn't sit well with the hundreds of thousands that are bureaucrats that are making laws, would it? But they're still outnumbered.
Hmm? They're making all the laws.
Oh, sure. Now, I've explained this before. But real quick, I'll say this again. What we have are all of these departments. And the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Education, the Department of Health and Welfare, and all of these departments, I think there's 17 of them. Try to find one in the Constitution.
Yeah.
You can't find it. And so all this Constitution then has all these agencies under them. And I'm talking about hundreds of agencies. And the only branch that has this is the executive branch. That's where all the departments are found. And under the departments are all of these agencies. And so the agencies make regulations, codes, rules, statutes, regulations by the hundreds of thousands. They have their own agents. By the way, none of these are elected. They're all appointed. The agents are well armed, and they enforce the regulations that these unelected bureaucrats make. And then, if you don't comply, then you go to a court, an administrative court, all unelected bureaucrats who are getting a paycheck from that agency. Do you really think that you're going to get a square deal there? And it is all totally unconstitutional, and the people don't know it.
Self-serving.
Yeah. If you have a law that is unjust, unconstitutional, or immoral, what is it? It's null and void. Now, I'm right here close to the end. I want to say this. Everything that I'm telling you, I know is true. But what each one of you need to do is to weigh this in your own soul. You need to know the things that I'm telling you. It's not a whole lot of information. Just about three or four things in the Constitution alone is enough to undo just about anybody in the civil government, because they are in positions that the Constitution doesn't even allow. And the Tenth Amendment is talking about, if it's not an enumerated power specifically granted in the Constitution, which would be in Article 1, there's 17 things there. If it's not listed there, they can't do it. They have no legitimate authority to do it. And when they do exercise power that is outside their delegated state, then they have broken the law. What is the law? The Constitution. And when they break the law, you could call them what? Outlaws. If you're outside the law, you're an outlaw, right? But then what makes it worse is they are also breaking their oath to the Constitution, the fidelity, and that they are going to comply with the Constitution. So they are oath breakers outside the law. Now, I'm not saying that these are a bunch of monsters in there. Most of them have no idea of the things that I'm telling you about. But they still use force on the people, because the people don't know any better. And they just say, well, that's the law. I got so sick of people telling me that. I would, over the years, I would tell someone about how this works, and they said, yeah, but it's the law. And I just started saying, no, it's not. Well, yeah, it's right here. I said, I don't care what's there. Take what's there and lay it by the Constitution. If it complies with the Constitution, it's a law. If it doesn't, it is not a law. It is null and void. Even the Supreme Court has said it over and over and over again. I've given you all these things in your notes. It's as void as if it was never passed. Now, when the American people start thinking in this way, people are going to start, the things may change. But the hour is very, very late. And it's going to be harder and harder for people to speak out, because I can see open Christian persecution much harder than it is now in our own country. I can see Christians and pastors being locked up for failing to defer by saying homosexuality isn't really a sin, or that I have to marry a couple of them. And you know already what I've said about that. This pastor isn't going to do any of that. And I'm not afraid. I'm not trying to be boastful. I'm not trying to be rebellious. I'm trying to really instill in you a sense of who you are. You are a royal family. You answer to God. And all this immorality and all of this injustice, all of this bureaucracy that is choking the life out of our country has nothing to do with God. In fact, he hates it. That's why when I think that it is part of God's design that we happen to be in Amos going through these verses at the same time that I'm going through discernment with government. I can assure you, when I started Amos, I had no idea that this was all going to happen. And when I got to Amos 3 and verse 9 and 10, they don't even know how to do what is right. You know that came right at the same time as this directive or this guideline or this whatever this monstrosity the president is trying to foist upon all the schools? It was the same time as when we were studying, they don't even know how to do what is right. So, let's see, I think I'm really close to the end here. Let's see. Our Constitution doesn't permit unelected bureaucrats to make laws. That's where I got off on that. Federal judges have disgraced the bench by permitting rulemaking by executive agencies. You hear that? Federal judges have disgraced the bench by permitting rule by legislative agencies. P.H. Publius Huldah, June 23rd, 2012. That's when she wrote this. Now, what I found out is, I've read other sources, and they said, do you know why the judiciary allows these bureaucrats to make laws, to enforce laws, and then to adjudicate these, well, not laws, but rules, codes, regulations? Do you know why they allowed it from this one source I read? Because it's much more efficient. I mean, you don't have to take all these cases and go to judges who have been elected. They don't have to. They can just, and all these unconstitutional agencies that are making the laws, enforcing the laws, and adjudicating the laws, that's the way we operate today. And the masses have no idea what's going on. If they heard this, what I've just said tonight, bing, maybe a little light would go on, but the chance of them hearing it is nearly slim, it's very slim and none. And but most, what I want to tell you, is the reason, even if they heard it, if this went on Fox News and they played it for a solid week, it wouldn't make any difference as far as I think, because they are willfully ignorant. They don't want to know, because if they knew, then they would be more accountable. They would be responsible for actually doing something. So what is the easiest thing to do is wrap yourself in the flag and say, we're the greatest nation on the earth. We're the land of the free and the home of the brave. That country no longer exists. Not here, not anymore. And now, the true patriots, those who are under God and standing firm for truth, righteousness, justice, and freedom, are the ones that are condemning what's happening, not looking away and not acting as if all is well. The clock just went, bing. I have a sore throat. I'm kind of losing my voice here. Well, as far as I know right now, that concludes our discernment on government. The next one that we will have discernment on is marriage. There's got to be a lot of discernment on that too, doesn't there? Now, I can't guarantee you when I get back, Sunday we'll be continuing with Amos. But the following Tuesday, I plan on going into discernment on marriage, but I don't know what's going to happen over the next 2 weeks. If something has been the pattern, just goes overboard again, I very well might address it, because I believe in addressing these issues while they're hot, while people are talking about them, give you the biblical perspective so that we can all sing off the same sheet. Let's close. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you are a God of righteousness and justice, and you are immutable. You change not. Help us all to recognize it is you that we answer to. And there is not one man, there is not one woman, whoever may be president, that is going to make the difference. It's going to take Christians and pastors who are growing up in your word and instilling in themselves a sense of eternal destiny and having the courage of their convictions and standing up for righteousness and justice. This is what's going to make a difference. They have to be educated. They have to know what their rights are. They have to know that going along with all the perversions that are being forced down our throat is, there's no way that we can accept those. We shouldn't even entertain the thought. So we pray that you will give us the discernment that we need in order to be the light and the salt that you have called us to be. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.
One thing we can do at the grassroots level, boycott the stores.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And anything that has transgender stuff, just don't go in there anymore. Stores like Target, Old Navy, those two I know for sure.
Well, you didn't.